lot of time watching baseball. One of my sons plays baseball. And if any of you have watched baseball, you know it is not like basketball and it is not like soccer, which are constantly moving. Baseball is one of these sports where you can sit and sit and sit and nothing much happens. And then all of a sudden, something exciting happens, and if you're not paying attention, you will miss it. I remember one summer we were at Yankee Stadium. It was hot summer. We were on the bleachers, and it was like one of those games where you're watching the grass grow. Nothing was happening. And finally, it was late into the game, and I thought, my skin needs a break. I'm going to go inside. I'm going to get some lemonade. I'm in the hallway, in the concourse, or whatever you call it, and I hear this eruption from inside the stadium, and Curtis Granderson had just hit a grand slam. I had sat through 6 insufferable innings, and then I missed the grand slam. Some people have said that life is a good parallel to baseball. And when I look at this, I think maybe this is a little bit true. Because think about how life is sometimes like this. We sit and we wait, we get in lulls, we have periods that feel dark or long, and then all of a sudden something happens. And if we're not prepared or we're not paying attention, the truth is we might miss it. We need to be ready. I think this is part of the reason that Matthew put this story in his gospel, why Jesus told this parable. Now I say think, because this parable actually makes me quite uncomfortable. There are just certain stories in the Bible that I wish weren't there, and this is one of them. Because this story has so many strange parts to it, right? There's 5 wise and 5 foolish bridesmaids, and they're at this wedding feast, and the groom is late. And, you know, if you always think that those 5 didn't have enough oil, but the truth is, they would have had enough oil if the groom had shown up on time. But the groom was late. So their oil runs out, and then you've got the mean girls who won't share their oil with the other 5. And then those 5 go off to get oil, which, by the way, what oil cellar is open at midnight, right? There's a lot of holes in this story. So they go off, go to get the oil, and then when those bridesmaids come back, they won't open the door for them. It just seems like they were doing their due diligence. I don't like that. So it's at times like that I read these stories, I see what's coming up for Sunday, and I think, oh, can I just throw it? Like, let me get rid of that story. But then I looked at it again, and I thought, you know, what I have to do when I read stories like this is look at what the Bible says as a whole. Right? Because this one can disturb me. Does this story say that if I'm not paying attention and Jesus closes the door, there's not a second chance? But then I read story after story after story in the Bible that says something different. And I think we have to look at the arc of what the Bible says. There are many churches this morning who use a different lectionary who will be reading The Prodigal Son. This is a story about a young man who goes off, squanders his father's inheritance, and is welcomed back with open arms. On Wednesday, at our gathering here in the evening, we read a story called The Widow of Zarephath, where a widow is visited by Elijah. She's about to die because there's a famine. And yet God supplies her enough oil and flour to make cakes for she and her son and Elijah. We are told over and over again in our Bible that our God is a God of abundance and grace and forgiveness and second and third and 722nd chances. So what do you do with a story like this? I looked at it over and over and I thought, all right, I still believe in this God of lots and lots of chances, but this story still has a point. And it's still important. And I think what Jesus and what Matthew were trying to tell the people, even in the midst of still believing in a loving and forgiving God, is pay attention. Keep awake. God comes at unexpected times. Life happens in unexpected ways. And the truth is, whether we like it or not, sometimes when God opens something up to us, if we ignore it, the door does close.
But chance does pass. It doesn't mean other chances for other things won't come along, but that chance is over. I have a friend who's a runner, and she was telling me how she takes one kind of the same path every day on her run. And over the last year, she's been running by this stoop where an elderly gentleman sits every morning, and he waves at her, and they exchange a greeting. And she said, you know, every day I've said to myself, I'm going to stop and say hello. I want to know who this man is. And so she hasn't, because she's running, you know, and she's got to get it done before work. So she's running. And then she said to herself, she doesn't live so far away, I'm going to go back. I want to meet this man. He seems like he's got, you know, a lot I want to know about. But she said just last week she ran by, and he wasn't there anymore. And he wasn't there the next day. And he had died. And that's life. She missed the chance to know that man. Now, my guess is we all have moments like that in our lives. Moments that we wish we could rewind, redo, where God was pushing us to something and we were too busy running. We were too busy with other things, with our own agenda. God is like over there screaming at us. We're like, yeah, yeah, I'll get to it later. And later never comes. There's this great cartoon, new cartoon on PBS I like. It's called Luna, and it's about this moon, and she visits all kinds of countries in the world. And at the very end of the cartoon, it says, you know, they're sad because they can't go to more countries that day. And she says, don't worry, there's always tomorrow. And I like that. I love that. It's great. Except every time I hear it, I go, oh, well, maybe not. Can't we just go one more place? You know? Doors open. God comes to us. And if we are too busy running, if we are too busy paying attention to other things, sometimes that chance passes us by. This is what Matthew wanted his disciples, the followers of Jesus, to know. There is an urgency in which Matthew and Jesus tell this story that I don't think we can understand. Jesus tells it during Holy Week. He's on his way to die. This is real stuff. Like, know me now and be ready. You don't know what's coming, right? And Matthew, so there's Jesus who tells the story, and then there's Matthew who writes down the story. And Matthew actually wrote down the story after Jesus had died. And in Matthew's community, they were convinced that Jesus was coming back, and not just someday, like in their lifetime. And so there was this urgency. You've got to be ready. We don't know when Jesus is coming. But I don't feel like we live with that urgency, do we? Maybe because Jesus didn't come back for the 2,000 past years, so, you know, it's been 2,000 years, maybe a million more, right? Maybe it's because we live longer. I don't know. I was trying to figure this out. You know, then the life expectancy was like between 30 and 40. You had to get stuff done. Right now we're like, oh, I got time. I've got time. But for whatever reason, we don't live with that urgency. And we're back to baseball. And I started thinking, maybe we do treat our faith sometime like I treat baseball. So I like baseball. It's good. If I got nothing else to do on a Saturday afternoon, I'm happy to sit down and watch a game. I will support my son. I will go to all of those games. But otherwise, I could take it or leave it. It's a nice place to be with my friends. I like the snacks. It's good pastime. Is that how we approach our faith too, though? I think sometimes we do. Oh, it's a nice thing to do. If I got nothing better to do, I'll maybe read the Bible, go to church, say a prayer. Maybe I'll go. People are nice. The snacks are good. But that's not what Jesus calls us to. Jesus calls us to an urgency. He calls us to more like my friend Scott watches baseball. I met Scott in grad school. I went to a minor league game with him, and I had never experienced this before. He kept stats. Like, religiously at every ball game we went to. You could not talk to him during a ball game because he would sit and take stats, right? He took that ball game seriously. Maybe that's more what God is calling us to our faith. Not just to kind of do it when it feels right or good, but to keep alert, to pay attention, to fill up our lamps with oil so that when those long nights come, we've got a full lamp. Because the other thing is, there are going to be waiting periods when we get tired, when we need extra oil in our lamp, and there are going to be dry spells when Jesus doesn't seem to be showing up for us. That's real. We all go through that. We go through it in the church, we go through it in our lives. But if we don't show up, if we're not there, we won't meet Jesus. Some people say that the problem with these maidens isn't actually that they didn't have oil in their lamps, it's that they left. Maybe if they had just stayed and asked for the mercy of that groom, he would have brought them into the party. But they weren't there when he came. Do we just leave too because we were tired of waiting for Jesus? I think about communion. You know, I take communion twice a week, every week. And some days, honestly, all it feels like is emotion. But then some days, it breaks me down and makes me weep because I feel God so powerfully. But here's the thing. I can't tell you when that's going to happen. I don't know when I wake up and come to church that that's going to be the day I feel God so viscerally that it brings me to my knees. But if I don't show up, I don't have a chance. It's like that here. It's like that in your life. Are we waking up every day thinking to ourselves, I might experience God today. I wonder how I could be of service to God today. And you know, you might go through your whole day and it is a totally blah, boring, awful day. And you didn't feel God. You might have a day like that. You might have a week like that. You might have years like that. But if you are still waking up or paying attention or listening, you never know when God is going to come that day, that moment, that second, and change things for you. And so you stay awake. You stay alert. You believe that God is going to show up. Because here's the good news in this really bizarre story we hear today. God shows up. We don't know when. We don't know how. But we know God will come. And God will invite us into a party. It might feel like it is a long time coming. You might feel like you've been waiting for a long time, but God will come. Believe that. And hold on, even when it seems like God isn't there. God is. So keep awake. Pay attention. Because I don't know about you, but at midnight, I'd much rather be at the party with Jesus than at some oil salesman down the street. Jesus has what I want. I just don't know when it's coming. But I'm going to try to stay patient.